What's going on, everybody? It's Woody, and I am in the car getting ready to head to work. But I wanted to do a survey while I drove into the office. So I thought I would pick Rubber Foals Survey. I forget the exact title of this survey because I printed out the questions, but not the title. And one weird fact I'll get into before I get into the actual survey. First off, don't survey and drive, unless, of course, you're a professional geologist and you've been legally cleared to do that. Ooh, that's a nice car, actually. But it doesn't have the collector plates on it. I don't get what's going on. All right. Rambling. And no coffee. So I've done one in the car before. Not one, but I've just rambled in the car before. But a survey is going to be fun. And I'm excited, actually. I don't want to get smushed. All right, good. All right, first question. How did you find out about GWA? Were you searching for something like it, or did you stumble upon it by accident? I was actually really tired of porn, honestly. Like, I just didn't find it appealing in some regard. And so I guess probably about, I don't know, maybe a year ago. Everybody kind of starts as like a lurker or some more like curious like kind of person. But yeah, I mean, I kind of looked at it and figured, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, and the community aspect of it wasn't really made evident or aware to me until I started actually making stuff and contributing. But now that I'm kind of like, it's weird. It's almost like an addiction to be kind of near these people, and I've always been kind of a respectful person, so to be in an environment where I have that respect coming back to me in return is really kind of special, and being able to share that, I guess, is the better way to put it. So so that's how I found out about it, I guess, and then now that it's there, then that's the case. I'm going to turn up my volume because I think it's not very loud. Hello? Okay, that's better. All right, is that better? All right, maybe it is. Hello. I just got more worried that it's too loud, so I'm going to turn it back down a bit. Okay. I'll do all the adjustment and post-production. All right. At some stage, you made the transition from listener to creator. Do you remember what prompted this? It's music. It's, having free time to be able to basically contribute to a hobby and not really wanting to do any more school papers, made me want to basically start getting involved with the community. And I really like music, and I think my early stuff, the very first stuff I contributed to it was TuneX. That required like a collaborative mind, and so I had a lot of fun with that. And then I was like, well, maybe I could use my real voice. And you know, everybody starts with that nervous kind of hesitation, like, do I want to, you know, really put my voice out there? And I think in the grand scheme of things, it's, you know, kind of putting some of that hesitation to the side and just being yourself that kind of persists in me. So that's really the stage, I guess, where I was like, oh, I could, you know, give back to the community as much as, not even taking from the community, but as much as the community has given me, I guess is the best way to put it. So just contribute to the give and take. So question three for you: what makes audio erotica so appealing? The dumb answer is the noises. I like the noises, but realistically, I kind of, you know, there's some quality of being able to tell a story in your own way, and the originality of the contributor's voice. So, and the performer's voice, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, again, whether you're scripted or unscripted, I think that I respect the fact that you're a performer, and I respect, as a performer myself, that I, you know, will basically be myself and not try to, you know, put my standards out there. That's not to say you couldn't do it with any sort of like other, you know, pornography, visual or whatever. Everybody has a camera phone. That's my theory. So we move so quickly to cameras, and we move so quickly to emphasis of the visual that, you know, the audio needs to be a huge part of that, like a segment of that. And with the internet especially, like, you've got sight, you know, all the five senses. Of the five, you know, sound is probably key. And there's been, you know, things that you pay attention to when it comes to, you know, sound, like if you're streaming music or whatever, things that we take for granted all the time. But my specific draw to Audio Erotica and like GWA in particular is there's so many voices, so many interests that are out there, and it's almost like an endless like well of not just inspiration, but just like quality of people, you know, and I really like that because I'm one of those people, you know, and I feel like welcome and like I belong because I'm with a community of people that really understand the, you know, attractiveness with the situation. I'm stuck in traffic, right? There we go. Question 4. GWA often allows creators and listeners to explore taboo kinks. Have you learned anything about your own sexuality since discovering GWA? Yeah, I think so. I think less, well, I don't know. That's a good question. Because I don't know if I've actually, well, I haven't had sex since I've started contributing. So, I haven't been in a circumstance where that's come up. But, you know, as far as, like, myself and what I like to do, I think I find it's okay. More importantly, I'm not as self-conscious about the sounds that I make or the way that I talk. Like, I do feel like it's okay and acceptable. Not to say, like, I'm gonna have a partner or whatever, but it's like, I don't have to put that pressure on myself anymore. So, it's almost like all of the, you know, certainly with the orgasms and whatnot, your pressure is somewhat alleviated, but this is more like the emotional pressure of, you know, I joke about singing this song, but it's like, when will somebody come for me? Like, you know, in my life, not in their pants. But, I guess in terms of, like, sexuality, more like, I never consider myself as sexy, you know what I mean? I think I'm a very sexual person. I think I'm a very, there are qualities I like about myself, but I never really embraced how I was sexual, and I think I really start to accept that now, and I don't know, it's kind of a liberating feeling, I guess, is the better way to put it. So, next question. Do you have a GWA idol that is someone who inspires you or you have a deep respect for? Boy, I don't think I have an idol. I think that the problem with, not the problem, not even a problem, but one of the qualities of the community is that you're usually most active at the beginning. And, you know, when I say most active, like, you're most involved because you're trying to explore what interests you and stuff. And, you know, there are people that I think joined around the same time as me that I, you know, look at and like, oh, wow, you know, they're choosing, or they're going this way, they're going that way. There's a bunch of people that, you know, when I joined or when I started contributing, like, they're not around anymore. So, I mean, in terms of idolizing a person or like a, you know, even a personality or a quality, I don't think I can pick just one. I think I have to step back and think like, well, I've got my own philosophy or my own approach that I want to take to it, and just to be able to stick to that and to respect that makes me a stronger person. So there are a lot of people in the community that I really, really like, and I, you know, obviously can't name them all. I don't have my laptop up, but probably most important to that is just the good-natured people, the community, the people who take the time not just to be like, you know, oh yeah, this was awesome, but more like to integrate themselves within the community. Those are the people that I like respect. So you'll get a thumbs up from me. Not that it matters. I mean, it's the internet. So like, I'll give you a thumbs up, and tomorrow you won't remember it. And that's fine. But more importantly, like, stick with each other, and then you won't have to worry about thumbs up and whatnot. All right, performers, tell me about the environment you record in. Is it a bedroom, office, any special apparatus to assist you in a recording? And scriptwriters, do you listen to music while you write? If so, any favorites? I'm a recorder and I'm a scriptwriter, so I'm gonna answer both. I typically record in my bedroom. I have recorded in my studio. I say studio because I basically got it like a recording suite in my house, and so I can sit at the actual mixer, you know, microphone, and record there. Volume is way better there, but it's not really conducive to sexy times, I guess is the best way to put it, in terms of like recording. So I would have to move the microphone very creatively to be able to do that. Not to say that I haven't, but I'm certainly more comfortable in my bedroom. I record with field recorders as well, so rather than use my phone, because I don't, not that I don't trust the phone, I just have my style, basically. So I use field recorders. And usually I'll use two at a time, so it kind of gives the, they're both stereo recorders, so technically you could have, like, a quadraphonic sound, but that would be weird, like, to do, like, a 5-1 sound mix of, you know, solo. Maybe it wouldn't be that weird. Scriptwriters, do you listen to music? I listen to a bunch of different music. Boy, that's a good question. Depends on if I'm trying to get myself motivated to finish a script, but mostly instrumental music, chill type stuff, electronic. I mean, it all depends. You know, I'm a musician, so sometimes I'll listen to music with words, but very rarely will that kind of trigger off, you know, some sort of like response. All right, next question. And I'm going to actually do the block because I'm not done yet. So we're gonna drive around for a bit. GWA, you're going to roll with me. I'm already at the office, but I'm going to not go in. Oh, well. Okay. That's a quick little comment on my road. Performance is anyone in real life who presumably didn't know about your GWA escapades ever remarked you have a sexy voice? Yes, they have, actually. But it's weird because I don't think I have a sexy voice at all. I don't consider myself sexy, remember? So, yeah. Scriptwriters, are sexy audios the only thing you write? If so, would you consider venturing into non-erotic writing of some kind? If not, what other sort of writing do you do? I've written a bunch of different style of things. Writing scripts brings its own little set of challenges to the ball game. So, yeah, I don't know if I could say definitively that. I mean, I'd like being, I'm very much a journeyman when it comes to what I want to do and what I choose to do, not just for scripts, but also for, like, writing. I don't want to box myself in too much, which is why everything I've written so far is really different from each other, you know? I'm sure I could probably tackle it once more and be like, oh, you know, or try to revisit a topic and do a better rewrite. I like the way my stuff comes across. I think it's pretty effective, but I don't know, you know? I think being a musician, being creative anyway, like, that's probably the connection I want to make. There's a helicopter going by. Can you hear that? You probably can. So yeah, like, writing music is one thing. I mean, and since I'm a sample-based musician, that's the other thing too. So since I'm a sample-based musician, I tend to basically not crib, but like use that as my influence. So, but it's weird because I don't actually read. Maybe I should do that more often. I kind of feel intimidated by what other people write sometimes, so I don't read other people's scripts as often as I probably should, because I feel like I have my own voice, my own vision, and that sounds kind of conceited, probably. I don't know. I participate in like writers' discussion groups on Kick and whatnot, and like I will always add. Have script advice, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what other sort of writing? I think I answered that question pretty well. Okay, next one. What do you feel is your most underappreciated, overlooked, or underrated work? Sorry, there's sun in my eyes and I can't read it. Okay, I'm gonna start over. What do you feel is your most underappreciated, overlooked, or underrated work? The audio or script you wrote was really good, but not many people listened to it or uploaded it. Convince me to go listen to read it right now. By the time this comes out, I'll have released like 12 scripted audios, and 6 of them are collaborations. I'm actually really proud of all of them. But I don't know if I could say one of them is my overlooked or underrated. I don't think, because I don't know what they're going to do. So, I mean, but part of me is like, well, whatever happens, happens, you know. I can't really control the fate of what I've released. I don't know, the Steph Mike one was pretty cool. Be Still My Heart 2, actually. The first one was a failed experiment, so the second one actually, well, not a failed experiment. I mean, I was able to record my heartbeat, but the stethoscope was not strong, and I could have done a better job of preparation. So I rectified that in the second one. Basically, it's just my heartbeat, and it's a solo, so it's pretty cool. But I kind of want to see how I can use that for the future, so part of me is like, if somebody sends me like an audio, or if I go out to listen to somebody and have my reaction recorded, you know, maybe I don't do anything, it's just my heart, I don't know. But I like that one a lot. Conceptually, I like that one. So, because, you know, whether or not we realize that the heart's kind of important when it comes to that recording, so. Okay, next up. Have you ever had an idea for an audio that you thought was really amazing, but couldn't pull it off because it was too ambitious or not viable for the audio erotica format? If so, tell me about it. If not, try to come up with a crazy idea for an audio that would be impossible to record. Okay, I'm a huge sound guy, and there's something called anechoic chamber, I want to say it. It's called. Basically, it's a sound, it's a negative sound sucking booth. So it is a place to record where it's so quiet that you can't hear, essentially you hear negative sounds, like the non-sound of sound. It pulls away the sound basically from you, like a big straw. And I think that it would be the purest way to hear an orgasm. I really do. But in order to even get a shot at, like, going there, they have, like, standard tours. It's, like, $400. But it would be crazy for me to be able to find a way to either record there. And you know that somebody's probably done it, too. But, like, even the recorder's going to make noise. But to be able to get the sound source as pure as possible, that would be stunning to me. Like, high-quality mics and
that's probably what it is.
All right, 2 questions left. What function does GWA and GWA persona have in your sex life? what sex life? I'll talk about dating and romance. Does it allow you to fantasize about things that you would never or could never do in your real life, or is it a natural representation of who you are sexually? Definitely a natural representation. I've tried to date since I've started recording, and haven't really, you know, I've stayed myself, but I haven't really found, I don't know, not joy, but like satisfaction from like even trying to be myself and get to know people. And I feel like I'm myself when I post and when I, you know, comment and whatnot. The me is always in there. It's just that the me in my real life is like not, what's the word? I guess I'm just not enthusiastic about going out on dates, I guess. I don't know. And I think that also, there's a little bit more history to it as well. So, that's kind of part of life. Last question. Everyone loves positive feedback. Tell me about the comment or PM that made your day / week / year. So I guess, I think, you know, the biggest the biggest compliment that anybody can give in terms of like PMs or sharing either advice or things that happened is probably if they reference like something in your history, not even necessarily something from your past, but like something in your history that like maybe you hadn't considered or thought about. There was a PM that came in, I guess it was a few days ago, but I don't know, I was really touched by the thoughtfulness of the author. I don't want to disclose names, but the gist of it was that, you know, they wanted to ask a question or two, and they referenced something I'd done in the past, and they were like, you know, your audio quality production is so awesome, and I was like, thank goodness somebody actually is, you know, paying attention to that. They're not just like, you know, coming and going, I guess is the best way to put it. But it really meant a lot, you know. It really meant a lot that people paid attention to the craft and the care that, you know, it takes to post these things sometimes. So, yeah, that was probably it. And again, once more, as a musician, you know, when you have somebody who listens, you never make music, or you should never make these audios for anybody but starting with yourself. You need to start with yourself first and foremost, because you are the one who not just records it, but you're the one who, you know, gets to listen to it, and you're the one who ultimately should choose whether or not you do it. And how you do it is important, the method and the message behind it. So that message really, really kind of spoke to me, and I've gotten a bunch of like positive messages as well. But you know, certainly even the kind stuff about my own, you know, personality and myself is good, but I don't know, the me behind the me felt really touched by that feedback. So anyway, I better go before I start bawling in the car. So thank you to Rubberful. I appreciate this is a fun little questionnaire, and